Thank you. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me this morning to Galatians chapter 3, page 973 in the red Bibles in front of you in the chair. Page 973. We're in Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 10 to 14 this morning. Preacher's five-year-old daughter noticed that her father always paused and bowed his head for a moment before starting his sermon. And finally, after watching her dad do that a number of times, she asked him and said, "Dad, why do you do that? Why do you bow your head before you preach?" "Well, honey," he began, proud that his daughter was so observant of his messages. He said, "I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." "Well, how come He doesn't answer it?" she said. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse." Did you understand that? "For all who rely on yourself, for all who relies on their own initiatives and their own strength, for everyone who thinks they can do it their own way and accomplish what they think they can accomplish, for everyone who thinks that rules will get the job done, is under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" Verse 11. "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." In 1999, the painkiller Vioxx was approved by the Federal Drug Administration of the United States. In 2004, 6 years later, Vioxx was determined to be dangerous and it was taken off of the market. The FDA, the Federal Drug Administration analysts, estimated that the painkiller Vioxx caused between 88,000 and 139,000 heart attacks in people. Do you know what that shows us? Especially folks who are getting into the elderly years. It shows us that getting your medicine right is really, really important. But you know what else it shows us? What's even more important? As we read this text this morning, it's that we make sure that we're getting our theology right as well. In Galatians 3 here, we're presented with blessings and curses. A blessing that will last for eternity and a curse that will do likewise as well. A blessing that will last for eternity, a curse that will last for eternity if we do it wrong. And the question I think that comes out of this morning is, how do I get right with God? How do I make sure that I'm right with God so that I can experience the blessing of eternity and not the curse? Would you agree with that? It's so vitally important. And there's a debate going on here in Galatia where Paul is at, where he's planted these churches. And it centers around that particular question. Do we get right with God by justifying ourselves? Or do we get right with God by stepping completely outside of our own will? And do we just trust God by faith? Which one gets you right with God? That's the debate that's going on here. And Paul pointed, as we looked at last week, pointed back to Abraham, all the way back to Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 in our text last week. And he said, listen, in verse 6 of chapter 3 here, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. You see, I think we need to know that our human tendency is always to trust ourselves first. That's just the way we're born. If I can't trust myself, who can I trust? If I can't get the job done, how's it going to get done? Our tendency is always to trust in ourselves first. We're like hardwired legalists. And you go, ooh, really? Yeah. We're like hardwired legalists, and that's not the spirit of Jesus Christ. After all, just listen to the conversations that people have with one another, and even the things that we tell ourselves. Here's some conversations. Hardwired legalism. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It was her fault. Hardwired legalism. You made me do that. Living by your own rules, hardwired legalism. You never told me not to do that. Hardwired legalism. You see, we so very naturally try to put the blame on someone else. Why? To assert and live in our own righteousness and our own self-righteousness. Justification. Hardwired legalism. Whether that righteousness, self-righteousness, self-justification is circumcision, like the argument that was going on here in Galatia, or in today's society, environmentalism, or some being against wedding dances, because there's a fear that you're going to commit sexual immorality by being in a dance with someone. Hardwired legalism. And Jesus confronted that self-righteousness, that self-justification. He said, we try to strain out a gnat while we swallow a camel. Paul comes along. And he picks up a theological machete here in Galatia, in this text that we're looking at today. And he begins to hack away through this jungle of self-righteousness. And he begins to cut that thing away and chop it down and destroy it. And he says in verse 11, No one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous live by faith. Paul says, you have faith on one side, and you have law on the other, and they have different purposes, and they are not to be confused with the other. Law on one side, faith on the other, and the two don't mix. They're like oil and water. Try as you might to mix them together in your Christianity and in your walk with God, they just cannot be mixed. That doesn't work to mix the two. And Paul says, look at verse 12. He makes that very, very clear. He says, the law is not of faith, and the one who does them the law shall live by them. He's saying there, if you're going to live by the law, you got to live by all of the law. You got to do them all. If you think you're going to obey one of these, you better obey all of them or you're failing. Because one means all. And all means strictly every one. And you can't separate one out from the other. If you're going to live by the law in everything and absolutely everything, and never not live by the law if you think you're going to be righteous. You see, what he's saying here is this. The law and righteousness by faith are in stark, stark contrast to one another. Let me see if I can explain it to you this way. If I were to say to you that you cannot get to Hermosillo. You all know where Hermosillo is. It's 80 miles north of here. If you cannot get to Hermosillo by train because there's no tracks that are going there from here. But you can get to Hermosillo by taking a car, and when you take the car, you'll be sure that you get there because there's a road that you can drive your car on that you will get to Hermosillo 80 miles from here. And you would know by my saying that you cannot get to the Hermosillo by the train, but you can get there by the car, that I'm drawing a stark contrast between trains and cars at that moment. You can only get to Hermosillo by car. The contrast here between faith and law is even stronger. Look at verse 12. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. The law is not by faith, because the law is about doing, not believing. The law is always about doing. It's not necessarily about believing. It's perfunctory performance to fulfill the law. The Galatians were being told that having received Jesus Christ by faith, these people, Judaizers, came down from Jerusalem, and they were telling them that they now needed to add the law of Moses on top of their faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul said, whoa, wait a minute here. No, 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 no. He says, you're making a great error here by insisting we add law to faith. Trying to get right with God by the law is trying to get to Hermosillo by reading a book. And there's nothing wrong with reading books. Lots of good things happen when you read books. But it doesn't matter how many books you read, it won't still get you to Hermosillo. You need to get in your car and you need to drive there, because there's a way that's been established for you to get there. It's the way that is right. See, the law has a purpose, just like reading a book has a purpose. The law is to make us aware of our need to be saved by Jesus Christ. And we receive that salvation, Paul says, by faith, not by the law. Paul's point here is that salvation is all Christ, all Christ, all Christ, and nothing else. Therefore, it's all by faith. And Paul wants us to see the stark contrast between the law and between faith. And he wants us to understand why it's not law that makes us acceptable Christians. How does Paul make his point? Look at verse 10. For he says there, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Paul says, listen, if you're relying on the law to get yourself right with God, you're in trouble because you're under a curse, not a blessing. Why? Well, because no one can actually keep everything that's written in God's law. Nobody can fulfill every rule and commandment that's given in this book. Because all of our human nature, we've all fallen short. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 12, Paul says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. None of us can fulfill the law. It's impossible to keep God's law because of our fallen human nature. Therefore, we're under a curse. Secondly, we're under a curse. It means that we're sinners and we can never live up to God's moral standards by our own efforts, no matter how hard we try. And some of us try very, very hard to do that. We try exceedingly hard to live up to God's standards. But Paul says, when you're trying to live up to God's standards in your own efforts, you're under a curse, because the only way is through Christ, the open door. That's why he said, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You need to stop working, trying to work your way to rightness. Relax in me, by faith in me, Trust me, he said. Jesus is the only one who can perfectly fulfill God's law, and he came to do that. And we're under a curse when we try to live justified under God's law, because it's nothing more than human pride that we think we're able to do that. We try to self-justify ourselves, and we try to build our own way to heaven and to conquer it by using a ladder of sand that falls apart along the way. Trying to justify ourselves is spiritual and moral failure, Paul is saying, which brings curse on us. But here comes faith. Here comes faith. Look at verses 13 and 14 with me. Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Paul says, listen, rejoice. If you're living in faith in Christ, you're under blessing because Jesus Christ became the curse for us. You see, when the early Christians preached Christ crucified, as they went about preaching and proclaiming Jesus only, it was totally, totally countercultural. I mean, the cross was a place of cursing and condemnation. And how could Jesus, the Messiah of God, be victorious at the cross when the cross was a place of cursing? And the antagonists against the Christians would say, no, no, Jesus is not Lord. He's cursed. Because the cross is cursed. But Paul again lifts up that theological machete and he takes a big swing at it and he smashes down their legalism and he says, no, Jesus Christ was cursed for you so that you could receive the blessing and inheritance of eternal life and God's righteousness. He became a curse for you. He took all the judgment that the curse brings upon himself so that you could have freedom and eternal redemption and eternal life once and for all. He took all the pain and the suffering upon himself in the universe. He took all the malaise of the groaning world. He took all the cancer and he took all the flooding and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the tsunamis upon himself of this life. Jesus took all the judgment of God as he was cursed on that tree upon himself. He took all of your quiet desperation that you bring here with you today to this place. Even though you know you don't measure up no matter how hard you try. And you've not kept all the rules. Cursed is everyone who fails to keep all the rules, Paul says. But look up. Look up, because cursed was Jesus Christ, and it's by faith for you and for me that we're forgiven and set free from all the rules. Look at this. Faith is not make-believe. Faith is the simple trust in the reliable Jesus Christ who became a curse for us. Listen, it's not that hard. It's not that difficult. You walked in here this morning and you chose to sit down on that chair that you're sitting down on right now. And by faith, you believe that when you sat down, that chair would hold up the body, the weight of your body as you sat in that chair. You trust the person that you make a deal with when you buy a home or you buy a car or you buy a boat. You shake hands and you extend that hand of trust to that person. Listen, trust has no power in and of itself. Trust is the relational glue that holds you, attaches you to Jesus Christ. You don't make Jesus real by trusting Him. We accept the gospel fact. The curse that was due us as lawbreakers was taken on Himself in Jesus Christ when He died in our place on the cross. Therefore, Jesus took God's curse, all of it, that you and I deserve and the whole world deserves, upon Himself. You see, when we trust Jesus Christ by faith, we receive, Paul says, blessings. Eternal, everlasting, righteous blessings from God. Look at verse 14 again. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's you and me. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Look at the PowerPoint for a moment. Living by faith produces blessings, Paul says. We get justification from God. We're declared not guilty by God the Father. And we get right standing and right relationship with God when we come to Jesus Christ by faith. We get through the blessing. We have the blessing of life eternal and the blessings of that eternal life right now as we live here on this earth. John recorded it this way, the apostle, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We get the blessings of knowing God and enjoying that relationship when we trust Jesus Christ right now. And Paul says we have the blessing of the promised Holy Spirit in verse 14. The person of God comes as we believe by faith and takes up residence and indwells us, the Scripture says, guiding and directing our lives, waiting, walking, living in that new life by the Holy Spirit of God. Living by faith produces the blessings, eternal blessings of God, Paul says, that they may know you, so that in Christ Jesus you might receive the promised Spirit, the blessing of God through faith. Let me give you a little application and we're done. If as a Christian today you've made your commitment to Jesus Christ, you've made that commitment. You've said, Lord Jesus, sometime be Lord of my life. I give you my life. And you've made that commitment. If as a Christian you've done that, you find your life yet still drifting along, drifting away from God. It's not where you know it should be. It's not walking under the blessing of God. If your joy is gone in your life and it's missing, if you're making human rules, listen to this. If you're making human rules to be of some kind of divine origin, in other words, you're lifting and exalting your own rules up and saying, well, you've got to live by this rule to be holy and right. If you're drifting close to the edge of legalism, Paul's inviting, I'm inviting, the Holy Spirit is inviting you to come back to the blessings of God. Come back. You see, you need to understand that legalism is a many, many-headed monster. And it can take on various forms of all kinds, but all of them are deadly to the life of the Spirit. And you might say to me this morning, Rich, how do I overcome this legalistic stuff? How do I get away from these rules that I'm always tending to make? How do I get away from this performance-based, perfunctory way of trying to live to please God and please everybody around me? How do I get out from under the curse? How do I? I'll tell you, it's not too hard. I have three things to tell you this morning if you want to get out from under that kind of legalism. It's not hard. Number one, become a person who prays. Become a person who prays. I was so thrilled to hear Frank and Jay pray together, testify that they're praying together. Folks, that's what it's about. One or two gathered together and encouraging one another and praying together. But you have to pray. Too many people who are calling themselves believers never utter a word to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's given himself to save him or her. You call yourself believers but never talk to the God who saves you. Something's wrong in your life. You have to open your mouth and pray to the living God. He's waiting to hear from you. He loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And that relationship means talking to him. Pretend he's sitting right beside you in the car as you go and pray and talk to him as a wife would talk to a husband or a husband to a wife or a friend to a friend. Pray and know he's with you because he's promised that he is. I'll never leave you nor forsake you is his promise. Be a person who prays and you'll start getting out from under the legalistic curse, the drifting in your life. Second of all, be a person who reads the Bible. Be a person who opens this book and reads it. How can you know God if you don't read it? This is what reveals God to you. This is what makes your heart leap into the presence and the joy of the Lord when you realize who this awesome God is who has saved us from condemnation and death and curse. Read the Bible. Be a person who reads. And I'm so encouraged. So many of you tell me that you're reading the Word of God. Thank you for being faithful in reading the Word of God. Be a person who prays. Be a person who reads the Bible. And listen, here's the third one. This may challenge your retirement years. You need to be a person who serves the people around you. You have to be a person who serves other people. Many of you do. I know you do. Yesterday morning, we got out of bed, the four of us, and we went to Wymouth at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we fed 150 homeless people. And we worshiped with them. And we sang with them. And we prayed with them. We have to be people who serve other people. This life is not all about you. It's about other people that God has brought into your life. Become a person who serves other people. Not because you must. Not because you must, but because in Christ and by the Holy Spirit, that's how you please the God who lives in you. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for others. It'll make a difference in your life when you're a person who prays and a person who reads the Bible and a person who serves others. It'll make a difference between loving the true God and experiencing His blessings versus living a cardboard Christianity. It'll make a huge difference. It's a difference that's hard to describe, but when you see it, you will surely know the difference. It's the difference between the real thing and a cardboard cutout. One is dry and tasteless and actionless, and the real thing is fresh and full of vitality and is grounded in deep, deep, deep love of God and the people God has around you in your life. It's the difference between a person who loves because she's loved and the one who does everything he can to avoid keeping the rules because he feels judged. It's the wife who will do anything for the husband who loves her, or the soldier who will do anything for his captain because he knows that that captain will take a bullet for his life. Christianity is not about ideology. It's not about culture. It's not about the law. It's not about pressure groups. Christianity is even not about religion at all. It has nothing to do with religion. Christianity is only about and always, always, always about the Lord Jesus Christ who hung on the cross and took your place. True freedom in your life True freedom will come to you when you meet Jesus Christ and follow Him. And Paul says, listen, Galatians. And Paul would say to you, San Carlos Church, listen, it comes to your life when you follow Jesus Christ and nothing else and none other. Bow with me in prayer, would you please? It happens by faith. It happens by faith. I don't know where you're at this morning, but you do. And God knows where you're at this morning. And He knows whether it's by faith in your life or it's by legalistic trying to do it on your own. But Paul's made it absolutely clear here to all of us this morning, I believe, that just like Vioxx, when we choose the wrong thing, it's a killer. But Paul says when we choose Jesus Christ by faith, it's eternal life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. There's a thief in this world who wants to rob and steal and kill you and your joy and rob you of eternal life. But here comes the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and mine. And He says, I've come to give you life and come to give it to you more abundantly. Will you believe in Me? Nicodemus, Jesus said, somebody who thought he understood it and knew all the rules and kept all the rules, and yet he had this deep, deep sadness inside of him, this deep, deep darkness that kept welling up inside of him. And Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need to repent and be born again of the water and the Spirit. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And by faith you will be saved. Have you made that commitment to Jesus Christ? By faith, have you thrown aside the rules and the regulations and all the self-justification and attempts at your own self-righteousness and your own self-holy living that's falling apart all the way around you? And by faith, have you said, Jesus, here's my life. Take it. I'm yours. I give it to you by faith. You were cursed so that I could live. And I accept that life that you offer me. You can have that. You can have that eternal life, that abundant life right now. Inside your heart, consuming your soul, and in your daily life as you live here these remaining years on this earth. By trusting Jesus Christ for your salvation. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. You can believe God today in Jesus Christ. And God will do the exact same thing for you as He did for Abraham. He will credit it to you for eternal righteousness to your life. Just ask Him. Just pray and say, Lord Jesus, today, by faith, I trust You as my Savior. I lay it all down to You today for eternal life that only You offer me. I'm sorry for my sin. I repent of it. Thank You, Jesus, for taking it on the cross for me. I receive by faith the Holy Spirit who indwells me in my salvation today. Father, hear our prayers this morning. Look down on us with Your favor. God, grant us salvation as we reach out by faith to you today. Do a new work inside of us as we let go of our legalistic ways. God, create in us clean hearts this morning and renew a right spirit inside of us today, as David prayed in the psalm. God, count us as your children today, heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God today. Bring us back today if we're drifting and wandering. God, give us a new fervency to read and to pray and to serve in this life. And we do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.